from the sixth floor basement of the Guys, Games, and Beer Towers, it's the Guys, Games, and Beer Show.
Yo!
Oh, it's so weirdly quiet today.
It is weirdly quiet today, but that's not a bad thing. The cool new mic is distracting me, though, Rob.
I get very distracted. I know. It, I go.
Why did you get something with flashy colors on it, Rob?
Because I was giving it for review.
So, hey,
I'm Rob.
And I'm Tom with Guys, Games, and Beer, and we are here with...
Key, from Howling Moon Software.
Ooh, say the first part again, because it cut out.
Scott Lemke.
All right, and Howling Moon Software. All right, hey, so we are going to be talking with you tonight about your new project, and maybe some of your old projects as well. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give the listeners the rundown on what your new project is.
So I've been working on a game in my spare time for a few years now called Viridian Expanse. It's kind of a 2D twin-stick crafting exploration sort of game. Maybe the tagline of explore the depths as you drill, craft, and fight to escape from a mysterious asteroid deep in the Viridian Expanse. So it's been kind of the dream game I've wanted to make for a while.
So from what I've seen of it so far, it looks gorgeous. I love the fact that you've gone twin stick on this. So explain the decision. So twin stick is kind of a bold decision. Explain why you went twin stick on this one.
Okay, so there's a lot of like crafting exploration games that I've enjoyed, like Terraria or, you know, like Subnautica, or kind of like the primary inspirations maybe for this game. I don't know, I wanted something that was 2D but also very arcadey. So like fast-paced like shooting and action. And not something that's got like a platformer, so.
So the twin stick was just a good fit at that point. See, we love twin stick games.
It was just a new twist, I guess.
Especially on a game that involves crafting. I off the top of my head, which is not that good of a source, but I can't think of any other game like that. That, I mean, there's plenty of arcade twin stick shooters. But
everybody's an auto shooter now.
Yeah, and that's all. There's a lot of that, which I really dislike.
Or Bullet Heaven.
Or Bullet.
Or what else they call it? There's a couple.
I know there is. But anyway, you look at it. I'm not really big on those games.
I do like those, but I prefer Twin Stick.
I do too. I'm sorry. I really do. I love that feel that it combines the best of skill and retro. So now you said you've been developing. So you are a team of how many people?
Like one and a half-ish. So, isn't really working on the project. He's doing other contracts and stuff so we can afford it. And I'm working on it about 2 days a week. And then there's an artist that I'm working with as well, but also it ends up being like 10 hours, maybe every other month or so, just because it's a very programmer-driven game and not a very art-driven game, just because it's me making it. So
I'm going to say, though, graphically, the game is gorgeous.
Yeah, I was going to ask who did the graphics.
So it may not be an art-driven game, but the art definitely stands out in the game for a 2D game. The art really, it looks amazing.
Whenever you see any of the actual art, that's my artist made that. And I did a lot of the graphic programming, so like all the lighting and shadows and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, very nice.
So it's actually, I don't know, it looks fairly plain without all the lighting stuff, because I've just put lights on everything in the game, basically. Like, anytime you see a screen, there's probably like 100, 200 lights on the screen, so.
Yeah, I noticed that with the trails, when the character's walking around, that each one's an individual point of light with its own shadows and casting, so that's very interesting.
I'm going to throw something up here. Hold on.
All right, hold on. Rob's going to throw a picture up so the audience can see what the heck we're talking about.
Maybe.
Unless you're listening to this podcast. So so it's basically you working on this project. So that's kind of ambitious. So you said it's been how many years working on this one?
So part-time since about 2020 or so is when I really started on it. And I started, you know, the first year or so was just in my spare time, which isn't very scalable.
we as we always talk about here, it's our copious spare time. So you talked a little bit about the other games, a couple other games that were kind of inspiration. Was there like some moment you went, you know, I really want this kind of game, and you just got started? I mean, you said 2020, but was there something you saw game-wise, market-wise, that kind of flipped the switch and said, yeah, I got to sit down and do this?
No, it was more just timing. It's a lot of the stuff I'd sort of planned out, like, years before, thought out years before about what I always wanted to make. Because I've done a lot of, like, contracting and stuff for games and making engines for other people and stuff. But I've never really made my own, like, game from start to finish that wasn't something small for, like, a game jam or just, you know, done in a, you know, a couple weeks or a month or so. I wanted to make something that was what I wanted to make, that scale, that, that I would make something really good.
Okay, so that brings So now you just talked about doing things for other game engines. Is there a particular game I could recognize what you're running on as underneath it? Are you using a particular engine underneath this, or is this something developed from scratch?
Yep, I pretty much developed it from scratch. I've had a lot of experience writing graphics code and game code for other people, so I know how to make an engine, and I definitely didn't want to for this. So it's very much, I've implemented exactly the parts that I'm using in the game. So a lot of times when people hear making something from scratch, they think you're making your own engine. But I'm trying to avoid that specifically.
All right. So this is a ground up game. It's not something you've just slapped on top of an existing engine.
Nice benefits in that, the current size of the game is about 12 megabytes, which includes binaries for Windows, you know, the 2 for Mac and 3 for Linux that are included in the download, depending on which, you know, CPU you're running. So,
well, that brings up the point, because you're not
very small.
Yeah, that's tiny, but because you're not using an engine underneath it, which is great because that does save on space. So you talked about you've got the 3 Linux, the 2 Mac, and the how many PC engine or how many PC cores?
The one, it's just x86-64 for Windows.
All right, sweet.
Might do an ARM build for it too, but that seems to be a very stalled proposition in the Windows world.
yeah, that does. All right, so that's really kind of ambitious. So a lot of people, you know, they'll use Unity, whatever, because of the portability of it to get it to other systems. So that's kind of ambitious of you to write it for each individual system. So you talked about that. So what's this? So right now, effectively, it's available on the Mac platform, on the PC platform, on most Linux platforms with that many different availabilities. Is it available on anything else?
Not yet. Planning to do a Switch version, but haven't really started on that yet. We worked on Switch games in the past.
All right. Everything should be on the Switch.
It shouldn't be like a huge lift, but
It's a rule.
We do have a rule about here. Everything needs to be on the Switch.
Yep.
So, all right. So it's only 12 megabytes, which is really got to be some pretty amazing coding. Was there a reason did you intentionally work to keep it fairly? I mean, if you're programming directly, you don't have all the overhead that's involved in having some kind of engine underneath it. Did you intentionally do that to keep it down to that 12 megabytes, or did it just happen to be a happy accident?
I intend to keep it small, like, on purpose. It just sort of turned out that way. And that I haven't used, like, a lot of large libraries as dependencies. So, like, the main thing I use is called SDL, if you're familiar with it, which a lot of games use, like, all of Valve's games, SDL. It gives you input from a system, lets you open a window, display graphics, do sound and stuff. But it's all, like, level versions of those. That's kind of the only hard dependency that I have in the game. And that itself is, like, a megabyte. And then all the game data and the graphics, it's pixel art. It's very programmer-driven, so I don't have, like, a lot of animations for things. A lot of it's animated in code and stuff like that. So it's ended up just being very small, despite having a very large map in the game. And part of it is I don't have a lot of music in the game yet. I just have some placeholders.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the game will be like 30 megabytes when it's done. But, you know.
Yeah, by today's standards, that's tiny.
Because of sound.
Yeah, no, that is par for the course. But that's, again, by standards, that's tiny. So, all right. So Talk about, so with that kind of coding, I imagine it runs on pretty much anything in the existing worlds that you've designed it for?
Yeah, actually, that's part of the reason why there's three Linux versions in the, if you download it from Itch right now, you'll get three Linux versions, and two of them are ARM versions for, like, Raspberry Pi, so there's a 64 and 32-bit version for that. Which, yeah, so it'll run on, like, pretty old computers or pretty low-end stuff, you know, the Raspberry Pi is not a powerhouse.
No, God, no. Yeah, so for...
It ends up being really convenient to demo the game, though, because then I just need to bring, like, a couple tiny little, you know, things like the Raspberry Pi to run it on, and no one has any idea, because it's running at 60 frames a second, and...
Okay,
shows graphics and makes sound, so...
On a Pi, that's pretty freaking amazing. And again, not that the Pi is fine for emulation, but, you know, normally it's emulating really old systems. So the fact that this game will fit on and run on a Pi is...
I got a Pi hand.
Nice coding.
What's the lowest resolution you can run?
So because it's sort of like a pixel art game, it's sort of in doing a virtual resolution of, like, 640 by 360. So it scales up nicely to, like, 720p or 1080p.
Awesome. We have a lot of weird Pi devices down to that low.
Yeah, we do have a lot of weird Pi devices.
The gang has a bunch of Pi
that we take out to shows and run all sorts of weird demos on. So that's another thing. Was that a conscious decision to make it so that it could? I don't want to say backward compatible, so it could run on a fairly low powered system with no issues.
Kind of, actually, yeah. When I started it, you know, I figured, you know, like, oh, this is probably pretty, you know, low requirements. And so I did a little bit of work to get it running on the Pi. And it, you know, was really close to running well. And so I, you know, optimized a couple things here and there with how some of the graphics are rendered.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ran just fine. And I kind of just kept the Pi 4 as my, you know, minimum spec performance target. Just does.
So that was clearly an obvious choice. No, as weird as it sounds, especially nowadays with all the weird handhelds that are coming out and the and those of us who do, and I use Pi for some emulation systems, it's nice to have systems that will run on a fairly low-spec computer. I mean, like you said, they're not exactly a powerhouse. So the fact that you went ahead and optimized your code. So as somebody who comes from the early days of computing and you've jammed stuff into amazingly small spaces. So you do game jams. That's a whole new type of development, or not a whole new type of development. It's a whole very specific type of development where you have a very limited time and very limited resources. I assume helped you because you've really done some amazing things. If this runs on a Pi 4, which I have not tried it on that yet, which now I'm going to, then you've done some amazing coding here.
So kind of the big thing with, like, game jams is it's not that it's, you're trying to run things on little stuff, but it's that you're trying to make a very minimal idea and get it done as quickly as possible. So, like, yeah, the ways it's kind of similar in, you know, finding restrictions and working within them. I mostly participated in the global game jam, which is, like happens in January. It's kind of like the biggest game jam because you get, like, tens of thousands of people from around the world that are doing it. In the last five or so, I've made NES games, actually, which has been a lot of fun. That is its own, you know, minimum hardware challenge.
Oh, heck yeah. So you've done some NES programming as well, which is kind of cool because we love our Nintendo systems here. And again, we really love our retro systems here. So earlier you mentioned something that this was fairly an expansive world on this.
Pretty expansive? Yes. It's a large map.
Large map.
Yeah, it's a big seamless map, so there's no levels. It's, you know, exploration sort of thing. So the idea is that you're trapped inside of this asteroid. Well, not necessarily trapped inside of it, but you're trapped on this asteroid, and it's filled with these caves that have these space bugs in it that you're fighting to get your resources for your upgrades and stuff like that. And so I kind of just arbitrarily made the map like fairly big and have been, filling it out as I go. And yeah, I think it's going to turn out to be good that I made it the size that I did so I can fit all the stuff that I want to in the game.
Yeah, wait a minute. I want to put this in the game too. Let's talk a little bit about the crafting aspect of the game. So I assume it's for weapon upgrades. I have not had a chance to dig deep into it yet. Give us a little preview of what's involved in the crafting on this game.
So it's kind of like Terraria, and it's like as you're going around, different biomes have particular resources in them, certain ores and stuff that you can then craft into upgrades. And yeah, most of it end up being like weapon upgrades and stuff like that, but there's also a lot of tools that you get, just like the mining laser that lets you dig through the rock walls and stuff is one of the first that you get. So each biome has a few different resources, a few different enemies, and the enemies drop particular resources as well. And there's a couple mini bosses that you'll encounter, and those have special resources. So it's all kind of like gated behind what tools you have versus what biomes you're able to survive in, basically.
All right, so you get general comments in the chat. They like the graphic style of
Yeah,
it.
don't they?
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's a lot of comments about the graphic style. Have you ever did you start out on 3DFX machines? Because it looks so much like a 3DFX
Oh,
game.
that's a good
Yeah, with
point.
the lighting,
Yeah.
I really miss
Well,
that look. It's just got that glowy
yeah, the glowy
look.
look.
The glowy look. Is that a That's a technical term, by the
No,
way.
it's yeah, no.
You've got to look at the
What
3DFX
do you
demos.
mean by 3DFX? Like voodoo
Oh,
cards?
3DFX, yeah,
Yeah,
the voodoo
the old
cards.
voodoo
Yeah,
cards,
it
yeah.
looks a lot like
So
the
in the
stuff they
early
used in
days, they would
demos.
do to show their lighting and shading capabilities, they would do a lot of glowy effects. And the game does definitely have
Okay.
that.
It's a look
Does
you don't get a lot of anymore, and it was a really cool look. I really like it. It's got that kind of neon glowing behind you effect.
Yeah.
I like
Well,
that.
like you said, you put a lot of points of light in this game.
Putting in lights, and there's like a nice bloom effect on all the lights as well. That was me as a programmer going, "Hey, I know how to implement this thing. I'm gonna break it up into
It's
11." So
a show of force.
that's exactly it.
So some things about development. What do you think the hardest part of the development's been?
Oh, again, since I'm a programmer, making content. So there's a fair amount of writing that's going to end up in the game, and I'm not good at writing. That was, that's always been kind of like my weak spot. But I wanted to make a game that was all mine. So I don't necessarily want to that part out to like a contractor or someone. I'll probably, get some help with like proofreading or, ideas and stuff like that. But I kind of wanted to do that part myself just because it felt within the realm of possibility that I can do it, but it's definitely not something I'm used to doing well.
And writing a backstory and all the lore and so on that goes with any particular game, that's a daunting task. So, I mean, you've already taken on quite a few daunting tasks with this project already. So, something tells me you're going to kind of nail that too. No, it really looks, again, absolutely amazing.
Out of curiosity, because I don't think we've covered this before, which you've done both itch.io and you've done Steam. As far as Steam goes, how many achievements are you throwing in?
I haven't implemented any yet, but
It shows it as active, but I couldn't get a list. That's probably why,
that's
right?
probably why.
I should probably, that's one of those things I probably shouldn't wait for it to be the very last thing, but yeah, I have not thought about achievements or anything of that sort yet.
So, like Rob was saying, it's available on those two platforms. And if you, there'll be links below as far as where you can find it, people. So make sure to go check this out.
Wishlists make indie games go brr. So anyone who wants to wishlist it, please do.
I
already
that's
did.
yeah
Yeah,
that, yeah so did I.
anyway.
So yeah, so
Thank you.
So that's so what's the what's your thought now as far as the official launch date?
I mean, I'm hoping within the next year. I kind of sort of have a actual schedule now to try and track the velocity on it, but I've been working on it, you know, part-time for a couple of years. You know, my business partner's like, hey, we should make a schedule so we can get this finished sometime. Hoping that it'll be the next year. Although, you know, a few years earlier, he made a game that was the game he always wanted to make called Verdant Skies. And that, we kind of had the same situation where I was working on a lot of contracting stuff while he was working on that to, you know, fund it as we went along. So
that's up on Steam right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll put a link down below for that one as well.
I go into chat.
All right, yeah, there you go. Oh, nice. Okay. It's kind of nice when you have that capability to, again, do the contract work and do this kind of things.
Jeez, was that done? I'm sorry. Was that done like on a one or two man team too?
Basically, so my business partner did all the programming. I helped with some of the effects at some points. He and his wife did all the writing, and that game had a lot of writing in it, like, I want to say 300,000 words.
Whoa.
It was that sort of, it's a life simulation sort of game, right? Like Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley. So it's just writing was like one of the main things in it. And then we had an artist who worked part-time as well.
Again, like the graphics.
Yeah, another pretty game.
Jeez, you guys do some beautiful games. So you do game jams, and you've done a bunch of NES games. Are those games available for where people can find them?
Good question. So the ones they've done for like the Global Game Jam, they're all listed on the Global Game Jam website.
No, we'll put the link in.
You a link.
Yeah, no, we'll find
as far as like the NES games I've made, I've actually put all those on my website with an emulator, so you can play those directly. I think I already sent you the link.
Yeah, we've got that link already, right. So that's great. We'll make sure to post up that, guys. So if you want to see some of his other work in the 8-bit realm, again, because we kind of love our retro here, we'll have links to all of that as well. So after this project, which is going to be a while for you yet, already planning the next one? Oh,
yeah,
I
really,
put him on the spot. He's like, no, dude, I'm done. I did my game.
I think I'll, you know, have a different hobby for a while. I've got computers that need to be fixed, so.
Yeah, that takes that needs enough time all by itself.
More comment from the peanut gallery. They said that the current music is soothing, and they like it.
Yeah, so if you feel like it's soothing, evidently.
Yeah.
That's just a royalty-free track that I wanted to use, but yeah, there's a couple local people that I wanted to talk to about doing some music for it, so.
That would be cool. So yeah, no, it's always a matter of finding the right collaborators to kind of make everything.
It's kind of interesting how music does affect how you feel during the gameplay. You know, it changes what the flow of the game is. That's a really weird thing.
Yeah,
that I found. Also, I find it weird that when I post a video that it gets tagged by some owner, but...
Well, that's... He's working with local people. That's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah. So, again, about a year down, that will be the alpha release, effectively. Long-term plans? Anything after that with the game? I mean, further development? I mean, because you've got a crafting system in this, are you going to throw more things on later on?
Since it's going to be story-driven, I don't think so. I kind of want to have it so it finishes out the story and then it's done. I haven't decided how I would slot more content in later, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It's not how I was intending it to work.
Oh, no, I am perfectly fine with a game that just ends. That's actually not a bad thing. You know, I played it through. It's great. Loved it. On to the next. So that actually works out quite well.
I'm going to read the system requirements.
Yeah, read the system requirements.
Processor i3 or better.
Wow.
Memory 1 gig of RAM.
Okay.
Intel UHD or better.
Wow.
Graphics, yep.
Okay.
And 256 megs at this point. Available space are required. So there's very minimal requirements. It's going to be really easy to play on whatever.
Yeah, pretty much you can put this on anything you guys own. So... for that reason alone, it's worth checking out. All right, so people, again, we've got links below where people can check all this stuff out. It certainly sounds like you've got everything covered. I do like the fact it's kind of a low overhead game.
That's a big deal.
For us, it's a big deal, okay? Because we're old school programmers.
Here's the thing. Not everybody, and you know, I'm sitting here staring like a gaming powerhouse, but
yeah, Rob. Really?
I still love playing stuff on the Steam Deck. That's like where I play like 90% of my games at this point. I think something that would run on that easily is great.
Kind of in the same situation myself. Like since getting a Steam Deck, I barely play games on my desktop machine unless I'm playing it like a multiplayer thing with my
I'm trying so hard to spend Tom's money and get him to get a Steam Deck because I've actually had other. There's only one of the major ones handhelds that I haven't had. I've had both versions of Steam Deck, the regular and the
old. Yeah, yeah.
I've had Asus's game system.
Which you did not like.
It's a lot better now.
I know what it is. I
later recommend
you,
it.
You really jumped on it.
Got a lot better.
You jumped on it very quickly.
Yeah, I did. I jumped on it too quickly is the problem with that one. I've also had the Lenovo one as well. I've had the Lenovo handheld. And I got to say, the Steam Deck's probably my favorite of them. It's just really, it captures handheld gameplay that's just enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I need more games to run on.
And here's the beauty of this game. It will run amazingly well on your Steam Deck. Both Rob and my son have been trying to get me to buy a Steam Deck for a while now. And not like I don't have enough gaming systems around my house. I mean,
we all do. Never stops.
So it's kind of horrifying when you see how many gaming systems we have around our houses. Literally, I have a what I call my retro game room, and there's 30 systems just in that room alone, set up and running when I say running, I mean you can switch to any of them at any given time. So yeah, and that doesn't include handhelds. That's just consoles. So I might have an issue. But yes, eventually, Rob, I will get a Steam Deck.
The whole game has a lot of issues.
Yeah, we have issues. All right, so I'm going to have you shout out. Where can people find this game? Besides, and give the Steam exactly where they can find it on Steam.
So if you look up Viridian Expanse on Steam, that's going to be the main place to get it from. I do put development builds up on itch.io. So if people want to try it out now, you can do that. Feedback is highly appreciated. But other than that, those are the only platform I'm really focusing on now until we get on Twitch. Itch.io is nice, but I guess we've released other things on there, like Burden Skies is on there, and you never really make that many sales there. I like the idea of itch.io. It's just,
I'm all over itch.
It doesn't feel like a major platform.
I'm all over itch because of the weirdness of the platform. Like if I want an NES ROM, oddly enough, they've got games for the NES. They've got games for everything. Yeah, it's just I don't know what the sales are like for that platform.
Well, like you just said, they're not that good. That's the issue. All right,
I love that platform.
So, but
it serves its purpose amazingly well. It's especially for people who make game jam type stuff, and they'll put that there, and then they polish it up and charge a few bucks for it. They can make money from that. It's just you're never going to get the sales volume you do from Steam.
Right.
Steam is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You can't ignore it.
Tell us about it. Yeah, so again, if this game looks interesting, guys, make sure to at least throw it on your wish list so that it's getting markups on that.
If you are listening to this later on the podcast, the much better version of this, or better sounding version of this, take a look at the description below. There's going to be links to all of this down below. Anything else you have to say?
No.
Any closing arguments?
I think we've kind of covered everything we wanted to cover on this, Rob. Scott, how about you? Anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, one more random detail. So the game is open source, actually.
Wait a minute.
The the not the content, the some of the sound and the scenario and stuff, that isn't open. But the code is, primarily because, you know, from my standpoint, if I'm not going to put DRM in the game, having the source available doesn't make the game easier to pirate. It will be pirated the moment it's released on Steam. We've done this before.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And
people don't pirate indie games. I mean, I don't think you should pirate games, but don't pirate indie games.
Why would you pirate an indie game? Yeah, that continues.
So by releasing the source for it, kind of ensures that it'll run on like weird systems, like weird OSs, or if someone wants to recompile it for some, you know, particular like Linux handheld that they get, I want them to be able to do that. So I actually include the source in the resources of the game, and it adds, you know, 200 kilobytes to the download size.
Okay, that's an awesome idea. Like, actually, I like that. I like
kind
that
of a no big deal to add it.
That's freaking awesome.
One out of 1,000 people are ever going to look at it, but I don't know. It seems worth it.
It's that one person, though, that, like you said, who ports it over to some weird handheld or some gaming system that you didn't expect it to get ported over to.
Like the Mi U Mini.
Like the Mi U Mini. That's a very awesome idea. I love that.
Yeah, I want to port everything onto handhelds.
Yeah, well, that's because you do everything on handhelds.
That's true.
All right, Rob.
All right, this is every episode is brought to you by Lionheart Racing. All the joys of racing without the rubber hot dogs. You can check them out if you go to www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Take a look at that big, big red, white, and blue 77.
You can't miss it.
Absolutely true. You cannot miss it, and you should not miss it because it's racing. Like, actual, like, people who actually race the cars race in this league.
Oh, and that's... They're working on something big.
Yeah, they're working on something big.
We're not going to talk about it yet. But they're working on something really big, and
we'll have our main man on for
to talk
a little bit about it. But you know, if you like racing, it's got like real time announcing going on during the race. It is, you know, you look at it, it's like, oh, this is a race.
They've got really real racers in the race, Rob. I mean, people who actually race real cars.
Yes, I mean, and they are serious about racing. You're going to see a serious race if you check them out. Also, if you like Guys, Games, and Beer, you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. You can check us out at www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. You can check out the best memes by Master Memetology. I said best, not dankest.
I was good with best. Keep going.
My Master of Meantology, Dallas, who wasn't here with us today due to a really nasty case of syphilis. Sorry, Dallas. I hope you feel better.
Get the shot.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jacob had shingles.
I know. Also, get the shot.
Larry got his privates caught into a machine of some kind.
We won't even ask why.
Yeah, that's Larry. You know how he is. And Ryan, pregnant, oddly enough. He's pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
For a while.
Congratulations, Ryan. On your first.
Yep. I want to thank you all very much for watching. If you're on iTunes right now, write a review. Say, hey, Guys, Games, and Beer, they don't suck.
As bad as we thought they would.
And that's the story of us. You guys have a great week. Don't forget, we'll be on next week, same time.
Beer Court next week.
Yep, for Beer Court. I don't know what the Beer Court is yet.
Oh, good.
So it's going to be a surprise Beer Court. Have a great rest of your evening. Good night.